Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 102. Psalm 102, and we'll be looking at verses 24 through 28, as today we look at God's eternity. Now, in respect for the Word of God, would you please stand as we have our reading? Psalm 102, beginning with verse 24. I say, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. For years, your years are throughout all generations. Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. All of them will wear out like a garment. Like clothing you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Let's pray. Father, we do look to you to administer your word to us this day. May your Spirit open our eyes to behold you, our eternal God. In Jesus' name, amen. One day, Paul was looking back over his life. And he looked over his pre-Christian days at his zeal to be a Jew who had right standing with God. And thinking of those days, he said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And you know, the Pharisees were a very strict religious group. And they had a lot of rules and regulations that they felt like a person needed to follow. And Paul was basically saying, I was the best of the Pharisees. I followed every one of those rules better than anybody. He says, I was a Jew of Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Again, the Hebrews had a list of rules and rituals that they were to follow. And Paul said, I followed all of those as well. He said, I obeyed the law in everything. I had prestige. I was honored by people. He says, I had the finest education that anyone could want to have. I was a Roman citizen. But when Paul became a Christian, he realized that all of these things he had counted so great in his life were worth nothing. In fact, he said he considered them to be nothing but rubbish, refuge, compared to knowing Christ Jesus his Lord. He said, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. When he became a Christian, his whole value system turned upside down. The things that he once valued, he valued no more. But what he valued now was to know Jesus. He said the consuming passion of his life had changed. The consuming passion of his life now was to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul said, my heart's zeal, my heart's desire is to know Christ more and more intimately, to enter into a deeper and deeper personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, to know Christ more and more intimately should not only be Paul's passion, but it should be our passion as well as Christians. Every Christian should have as their heart's desire to know Christ, to know Him more and more intimately and personally. And we're seeking to know our God by studying His great person. You remember we've been over in Jude chapter 25 and we're studying the great person of God. And we're talking about to the only God, he says, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion and majesty and authority before all time and now and forever. Now we're looking at God's eternity today. That's the part of the phrase that says before all time and now and forever. The eternity of God is something that's hard for us as humans to grasp because we are creatures of time. Nevertheless, the biblical witness to the eternity of God is without question. I mean, God speaks about His eternity throughout His Word. Now, the writers of Scripture speak about God's eternity in different ways, and we're going to look at some of those ways this morning, but the truth is the same. Our God is an eternal being. Here in Jude 25, it's spoken of before all time, and now, and forever. God existed before time. You and I think of time in a linear fashion. There is the past, there is the present, and then there is the future. See, it's a linear fashion, moving in a line. That's the way we think. And that's the way time is to us as humans. But there was a time, almost a pun, there was a time when there was no time. You see, time began with this created order. When God said, let there be light. When God said He created the heavens and the earth, He created time as a part of that. But prior to the creation of this known universe, there was no time. But there was God. And so that's what Jude means when he says, before all time. Before time ever started, there was God. And He is now. And He will be forever. But also, the writer of Genesis, Moses, talks about God's eternity in Genesis 21, verse 33. Here, Abraham is making a covenant with Abimelech because their men have been fighting over the whales. As you can imagine, in the arid regions, the whales are very important. A source of livelihood, not only for your own family to have water, but for your livestock to drink. Well, there was some controversy and struggle among Abimelech's men and Abraham's men about who should have the right to the well. And so Abimelech and Abraham entered into a covenant that their men would live in peace in the land. Well, in this covenant, Abraham calls on his God to be a witness to this covenant. And notice how he refers to God in verse 33. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. Now that Hebrew word that's translated into the English everlasting is a rather interesting word, and the concept behind it rather interesting. The root word that's translated everlasting in the Hebrew literally means to veil from sight. To be hidden. To be out of mind. And so it came to mean in the Hebrew language time that was out of mind. Time that was so far away it couldn't even be seen or conceived. You see, you and I cannot conceive of forever and ever and ever. As hard as we want to think about time in the future, in 1,000 years or 2,000 years or 1,000,000 years, or 2,000,000 years, or 1,000,000,000 years, we're really straining at that point, aren't we? But when you cannot put a number on time, but time continuing forever and ever, that is out of our minds. We cannot comprehend it. And that's kind of the meaning of the Hebrew word here that's translated everlasting. The everlasting God. There is never going to be a time when God will not be. And there has never been a time when God has not been. The psalmist has another way of speaking about it over in Psalm 90 in verse 2. Again, he uses the same Hebrew word. He says, before the mountains were born, or you did give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The psalmist says, before the mountains were born. He's going back to before the world was created. That's his way of speaking about that. Before the mountains were ever born, ever came about, before the earth and the world ever came into existence, God, you have been from everlasting. Again, this word carries out the idea of perpetuity, perpetual, continual, evermore. You see, all we can think about is the created order. We can't imagine again before everything was created. So he says, but before that, God, you have been from everlasting, that's going backwards, to everlasting, that's going forward. That's a way of saying God is eternal. Now we move to the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Paul says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Now this word eternal in the Greek is literally into the ages. The King of the ages. Now plural, ages. You see, the Hebrews had the concept of two ages. The present age and the age to come, which we think of as eternity, eternal life. And Paul says, our God is the King of both ages. He is the King of the ages. He is the eternal King. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews has another way of saying it. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. Yesterday, in the past, today, right now, and forever. You see, the truth is that God is eternal. Revelation chapter 4, it said yet another way, as they're singing around the throne, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." Who was, always was. Who is, He is now. And who is to come, who always will be. So literally, from Genesis to Revelation, the eternity of God is proclaimed by His Word, evidenced in His Holy Scriptures. Now let's define the term for you. What do we mean when we speak of God's eternity? Again, we're over in Psalm 102 as we give more definition to this. But basically, God's existence is without beginning, without ending, and without succession. That's God's eternity. That's the way the theologians define it. His existence is without beginning, without ending, and without succession. Now, you don't probably have any trouble with the without beginning. You don't have any trouble with the without ending, but without succession, what are we talking about? Well, you and I live in succession. We live in stages. There is infancy. There's childhood. There is adolescence. There's young adulthood, middle adulthood, and then senior adulthood. We live in stages. We live in series of motions. But God does not. There is no infancy with God. Infancy with God. There is no childhood with God. No adolescence with God. God does not change. God is forever the same. Now, Psalm 102, beginning in verse 24, we see that God is without beginning or ending. "I say, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations." In other words, the psalmist says, back where there's ever been people, where there's ever been any generations, God, you've been before them. You've been there. His years are throughout all times. He is before all things. Verse 25. "Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Again, as we see so many times in Scripture, God's eternity is in relation to the created order. And He was before all things. Before the creation, there was God. Now, the answer to the child's question, who made God, is nobody made God. God has always been. Now, you and I cannot comprehend that there is no beginning with God, because you and I think in terms of cause and effect, because we live in a cause and effect world. Right? You see somebody walking the earth, you know they were born. No question in your mind. They were born. They were caused to be here. Series events went into motion and they're born. They're here. We look over here at the Kroger across the street. No question in your mind, somebody built that Kroger. Maybe you were not here when they were building it, but it's no question in your mind that was a cause for it. Because we live in a cause and effect world. If there is an effect, we know something caused it. But with God, there is no cause and effect. Nobody calls God. He is the first cause, the ultimate first cause. But nobody calls God. He has always been. Nobody made Him. He's always been. You see, time with us is past, present, and future. But with God, He is in the perpetual present. God is always in the now. Now, I'm going to tell you some things. Don't get sidetracked by what I'm about to say. If you understand it, great. Say, that's wonderful. If you don't understand it, just say, okay, I'm not going to think about that. I'll just get into what I can understand. I'm going to get a little philosophical here. So, just get what you can of it. Don't worry about it if it doesn't make sense. All right? Okay. But for those of you who are more philosophical minded, I'm going to say it to you. Okay, here we go. God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. Now, part of God's eternity and part of God's nature is He cannot be divided. That means that God is just as much here today in this room as He is everywhere else in the universe. He's not here any more than He is anywhere else. He's not here any less than He is anywhere else because God cannot be divided. His omnipresence cannot be divided. He is just as much here as He is everywhere. He is just as much everywhere as He is here. Okay? The same is true of His existence. God cannot be divided into past, present, and future. God is always in the now. God encompasses all of time. He is a timeless being. Now, He relates to us who are creatures of time in time. He sent Jesus at a certain time on this earth to live on this earth, and there's a certain day in history that Jesus died on the cross. But do you know, in the mind of God, Jesus died on the cross today. Before the world was created, He was dying on the cross. Because God is always in the present. There is no past, there is no future, it's just always now. That's why the Bible says that Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. Because in the eternal mind of God, He was. God is always in the now. He knows the future just like it's right now. He knows the past just like it's right now. He's always in the now. Now don't get bogged down by that. Just accept it and realize that's great. God is greater than time. Isn't it marvelous that we have such a being as our God who transcends our understanding and we can't get a hold of Him? But He is an eternal God. And He exists the same in relation to yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You and I don't. We exist differently. You don't exist in relation to today like you did yesterday. And you don't exist in relation to today like you will in relation to tomorrow. That's future. Yesterday was past. But God does. He exists the same in the past, in the future, right now. Alright, that brings us to the second truth. God is unchangeable. Verse 26 said, "Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment." He's talking about the world. "Like clothing, you will change them and they will be changed." The earth is going to wear out. God, the earth is steadily declining. There's a principle of science that the earth is steadily declining. It's going down. It's deteriorating. Things deteriorate. Science recognizes that. You and I recognize that. Our bodies deteriorate. We change. You are not the same right now as you were when you came here. This morning, you've had cells that have died in your body. You have had processes that have gone on in your body that have changed you. You and I are in a constant state of change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. But we're changing. No question about it. But God is unchanging. Verse 27. "But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." God is the same. God does not change. He is forever the same. Created things grow old and change. Yet God exists forever and He is always the same. God doesn't grow old. He does not gain new powers. He does not lose the powers that He has. He does not get stronger, wiser, or weaker as time goes on. Theologian A.W. Peake put it this way. "He cannot change for the better, for He is already perfect. And being perfect, He cannot change for the worse." So God is forever the same. He never changes. Doesn't get wiser. Doesn't get less wise. He is always, constantly the same and has always been the same. So God's eternity means that God has no beginning, He has no ending, and He never changes. He is always the same. Now how does this apply to you and to me? I preach it's great that God's eternal, but now, what does it say to me? All right, I want to tell you three things. First, God's Word is forever true. His Word is forever true because God does not change, nor does His Word change. Lord Douglas, the author of the book, The Robe, many of you may have read it or seen the movie. When he was attending the university, he lived in a boarding house. And he had a routine, a ritual that he went through every day, he said, with another boarder in the boarding house. It was a fellow who was a retired music teacher. And the guy was confined to a wheelchair, and he couldn't leave his room. And so every morning, as Douglas was on his way to class, he would stop by and open the door to the retired music teacher's room and say, "What's the good news today?" And every day, the music teacher would pick up his tuning fork and he would strike it against his wheelchair and say, "That's middle C. And it was middle C yesterday, and it will be middle C tomorrow, and it will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano next door is out of tune. But this is middle C." You see, that retired music teacher had fixed on one constant thing he could count on. Though everything else in his world might be changing, he could count on that one thing, that middle C was middle C and would always be middle C. Now you and I have something much better than middle C that we can count on that will never change, and that is the Word of God. Over in Psalm 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven." God's Word is settled. It is constant. It is eternal truth. Now that's why the Bible is relevant today. That's why this book, some parts of it, over 3,000 years old, are still relevant today, just as relevant as they were when they were first penned. Because they are eternal truth. Because God does not change, neither does His Word change. When God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," over 3,000 years ago, it is still as true today as it was then. His Word is unchanging. It is fixed in eternity. It is a fixed standard that will not change. That means God's promises are forever true as well. When almost 2,000 years ago Paul wrote, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," it was true on that day that Paul penned it, and it is just as true today. That whoever will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, placing their trust and faith in Him and what He accomplished through His perfect life and His death on the cross for their sins and His resurrection, shall have eternal life. It is true today. His promise that God shall cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him and to those who are called according to His purpose. It was true when Paul wrote it 2,000 years ago, and it is just as true today, and it will be true 1,000,000 years from now. Because God's Word is eternal truth and unchanging. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus," it was true that day, and it is just as true today. You and I can count on the promises of God. Because God is eternal, His Word is eternal. And His Word is forever true. Secondly, because God is eternal, God's character is forever the same. Psalm 119:142 says, "Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness." You know, the people we love, the people we trust. Do you know one of the reasons you trust certain people? Think about somebody you really trust. I mean, you trust them as much as anybody on this earth. You know why you trust them? Because you believe they will not change. You can count on them. You believe if you tell them a secret, they'll keep it because they always have. You've come to know them. You've come to love them. You've learned what kind of people they were. You've learned their fiber. You have learned their metal. You've learned their character. And you trust them because you believe that character will not change. Right? The people you don't trust are the people who you can't count on their character not to change. They've told you one thing and done another. But I want to tell you a truth that we all, as humans, can change. Even that person that you place your utmost trust in, they can change. A brain tumor can change a person's personality, can change the way they act. Alzheimer's can change the way a person acts, change a personality, change them. So as much as we want to place our trust in an individual, and we should as much as we can, we have to realize there is that possibility this person may change on me. But I want you to know God will never change. When the Bible says God is love, it doesn't say God was love. It doesn't say God will be love. It says God is love. And God will forever be love. God is righteous and He will forever be righteous. God is merciful and He will forever be merciful. God is holy and He will forever be holy. You don't have to worry about God suddenly changing and becoming unloving and unmerciful and unholy. We don't have to worry about that. God will remain forever the same. He's never going to cease to be who He is and another take His place. Now to us that's a great comfort. But to those who are unsaved and apart from Christ, it can be a great terror because He's not going to change His holy standard. He's not going to suddenly say, okay, you don't have to come under the righteousness of Christ anymore. I'll just take any and everybody who wants to come into heaven. He's not ever going to change His standard of holiness and righteousness. He's not ever going to cease to demand the righteousness of Christ in those who come into heaven. And that righteousness can only come through faith. He's never going to change in that. That is settled in heaven. But oh, what a comfort to know that our God will never change. He's always going to be loving. He's always going to be kind. He's always going to be merciful. And then thirdly, God will forever keep Christians saved. Hebrews 7:25 says, because He abides forever, also He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He is able to save us forever. There's that word again. Forever. Eternally. Now, we're not eternal beings because we have a beginning. Now, we will not have an ending. He'll keep you saved forever. Why? Because He lives forever to make intercession for us. I mean, how frightening would it be if you and I had a God who was changing and we would have to think maybe a million years into eternity, He would all of a sudden say, well, I've changed the way things are going to work now. No longer will I accept your righteousness based on what Jesus accomplished. I'm pulling up the old records and you've got to have righteousness to get into heaven that equals the righteousness of Jesus. And since nobody does, everybody's going to hell. See ya? We don't have to worry about that, do we? That's ridiculous. It causes us to laugh to even think about such a ridiculous thing. Why? Because we know our God is constant. And we know He is unchanging. And we know that He will forever keep us saved. A trillion years, although there will be no time, but a trillion years, if there were time into eternity, you and I will still have the security of knowing that our God has accepted us on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher, probably the greatest English preacher, was going through the countryside one day with a friend of his. And they noticed this farmhouse and this weather vane on top of the farmhouse that said, God is love. Charles Spurgeon said to his friend, he said, I don't think that's appropriate because weather vanes, just by the nature, are always turning and changing. And God's love is constant. Now, I just think that's inappropriate to have it on a weather vane. And Charles Spurgeon's friend said, "But Charles, I think you miss the point. The point is, no matter which way the wind blows, God is still love. No matter which way the wind blows in your life, no matter what storms come in your life, you can be sure that God is constant, that God is love, and that God is holy, and that God is righteous, and that God is just." Let's pray.